content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hello, this is Julie Eldridge for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is the Governor Moorhead School Alumni Connection newsletter. And this is issue 5 for summer of 2026. So I'm probably going to be at this for almost an hour, so get comfortable. Again, this is the Alumni Connection for Governor Moorhead School, summer of 2026. From the President's Corner by Dr. Ricky Scott. As president of our association, I wish to express my hope that all is well with you and your family, and that you are enjoying the spring and looking forward to the summer and all that it holds for you. I wish to report on several items of interest. First, by the time you read this edition of the newsletter, graduation will have occurred at GMS, where we plan to submit 2 scholarships and several awards to the graduating seniors. Second, I did meet with Superintendent Seekers to discuss ways to enhance collaboration between GMS and our association in terms of collaborative activities and ways to support GMS students. Third, as you know, as president, I serve on the Board of Trustees of GMS, and I'm happy to report that the Board of Trustees, along with Dr. Seekers, is working diligently to ensure the sustainability and growth of GMS programs and services across North Carolina, and that begins with making sure that the public is aware of GMS and its programs and services. Fourth, our August convention reunion is rapidly approaching, and I am excited about it, for I know that it will be both informative and fun filled with fellowship. Last, we continue to hold informational seminars on a variety of topics important to our members and to persons who are blind or visually impaired. I wish to encourage you to serve as your skills and talents permit. Therefore, with your service on committees, we can achieve that objective. So as I conclude, let me express my thanks and appreciation to you for your membership and service to our association. And here are the committee reports. The convention/reunion committee report. Salutations, GMSAA family and friends. We are pleased to announce some of the annual 2026 convention details. The event will be held August 14th through 16th of 2026. We will be staying at the Wyndham Garden, 415 South Swing Road in Greensboro, North Carolina. Room rates are $119 per night, and that's with a double or king bed. That does not include tax. Please call the hotel directly at 336-315-1550 and ask for the Governor Moorhead block. The hotel does not offer shuttle service, so you will need to arrange your own ride to and from the train or bus station. While the agenda remains in the planning phase, several activities are noteworthy. There will be a meet and greet Friday evening, a general business meeting, and a visit to the Civil Rights Museum on Saturday, and a hospitality room. Contact Lonnie Cunningham at 336-275-1377 if you wish to visit the Civil Rights Museum. More detailed activities are forthcoming. Looking forward to seeing you in August. And that is from the GMSAA Convention Committee. For annual members, your $60 registration fee is due by June 30th of 2026. There will be a $10 late fee if not paid by the above date. Your annual $20 membership fee can be paid with your registration for a total of $80. Lifetime members will still pay $50 for registration. No, non-members and guests, your fee is $90. You can pay your fees one of two ways. Mail your registration form and payments to P.O. Box 61434, Raleigh, North Carolina, 27661, or online using the website gmsaai.org, and they use PayPal for payment online. Keep in mind that any activity suggestions are always welcome. My email address is lcham65@gmail.com, or feel free to call or text me at 336-275-1377. Sincerely, your GMSAA Reunion and Convention Committee Chairman, Lonnie Cunningham. Resource Development. Hello, GMS alumni and friends. I just wanted to send out a note to let you all know that the Resource and Development Committee would love for you all to participate in our annual fundraising activity. Because everyone did such a great job last year, raising $6,160, it has been decided that we will be doing the birthday month's battle again this year. If anyone is interested in being a captain for your months, please let me know. My home number is 919-856-0034. For those of you who didn't participate last year, please try harder to raise and or donate to your group. Now, we all need to get busy working so that we can beat August and July, who came in first and second place for last year. We look forward to seeing you all in Greensboro this August. Thanks so much. And that is from Margaret Carter. From Archives and History. GMSAA members and friends, I wish to share that the State Archives of North Carolina completed the digitization of all the Governor Moorhead School records in their collection. And then there is a very long link here for the digital collection and another to the blog post from the North Carolina Archives, which I don't think would be helpful if I drilled through right now on this podcast. Many of you have expressed interest in learning the history of GMS. These documents show parts of that administrative history. After your review, please share your thoughts in future issues of this newsletter. The Education Committee Report by Dr. Ricky Scott. As you know, one purpose of the Education Committee is to provide educational opportunities to our members and those in the larger community. We achieve this goal through the provision of informational and community resource presentations at both our annual winter and summer meetings, as well as separate seminar presentations during the year. For example, seminars were on topics covering financial management, health and wellness, and housing rights and responsibilities. To ensure that your interests in seminar presentations are considered, please contact me with suggestions at rickyscott09@gmail.com or at 919-673-8300. GMS Board of Trustees Report. The Governor Moorhead School Board of Trustees submits this report to the Governor Moorhead School Alumni Association to inform our stakeholders of the many successes, projects, and initiatives underway on campus to support growth and innovation. First, the Board of Trustees welcomed Dr. Kathy Seegers as superintendent in January of 2026. Dr. Seegers brings with her over 40 years of experience serving children with visual impairments. She has served as a teacher, consultant, outreach director, assistant principal, principal, and superintendent in Georgia, Louisiana, and Tennessee. Under her leadership so far, GMS hosted its very first parent weekend. 10 families and their children from around North Carolina were welcomed to campus for an orientation and mobility weekend experience. The board intends for these events to occur on a quarterly basis in the 2026-2027 year, with a different area of focus on the expanded core curriculum each time. Next, GMS is working in collaboration with the Raleigh Fireballs, which is a local running club. The club is supporting efforts to renovate the outdoor track with a new surface. Eventually, plans are in the works to add seating, restrooms, and other amenities. The school is also finalizing work to reopen the swimming pool in the gym. Further, the school has several construction projects underway to improve campus facilities. The cottages are currently undergoing work to replace fire suppression systems, furniture, and update them to have a more home-like feel. The Simpson Building is undergoing some work to address some safety concerns. The roof on the gym is being partially replaced, too. A major project in the planning stages is to replace the school's 90-year-old boiler with an updated system for heating across campus. In addition, the school has been allocating resources to the Charge Cafe, which is a student-run coffee shop on campus. The board welcomes alumni and community members to visit campus to experience the Charger Cafe during its operating hours. A food truck is in the planning stages. The Governor Moorhead Foundation has been strongly supporting these efforts. Finally, the school continues to expand into the community with public events and collaborations to support student learning. Recently, the school hosted a STEM Day, and state legislators visited campus to tour classrooms and the Charger Cafe. The Wake County Public School System and GMS continue to work together on sharing resources. Discussions are underway for GMS students to attend classes in Wake County Public Schools. The board continues to advocate with the General Assembly for the Governor Moorhead Preschool to be moved back under the school. The school is exploring more ways to collaborate with the Division of Services for the Blind to support transition into the workforce. And that is respectfully submitted by Dr. Alan Chase, Doctor of Education, and J.D. He's chair of the GMS Board of Trustees. Here is the section on informational and inspirational articles. I am going to skip the first one on delegation because I believe I read it before. If I have time within this hour, I will come back and read it. For now, I'm going to go along to the Blind Access Journal. Top tip, tap, tap. Happy Top Tip Thursday, everyone. Today's tip has a fascinating story behind it, and it comes with a built-in promise. By the time you finish reading this, you'll have a faster, easier way to do several things on your iPhone or iPad that you probably do every single day. We're talking about the one-finger triple tap in VoiceOver and why it may be one of the most underappreciated gestures in your entire toolkit. A quick history lesson. Let's set the scene. Before iOS 13.2, performing the equivalent of a long press with VoiceOver required the double tap and hold gesture. You double tap an item and keep your finger pressed down on the second tap, then wait and wait for a rising tone that signaled iOS was ready to register your long press. Only then could you complete the action. It was fiddly, timing dependent, and not exactly a joy for users dealing with any kind of hand tremor, fatigue, or fine motor challenge. Keyboard users had it a bit easier with a key combination, but for touch users, it was genuinely tedious. With the release of iOS 13.2 Apple quietly made a change that many users didn't even notice at the time. The one-finger triple tap, which previously simulated a plain double tap, was reassigned to bring up the contextual long press menu directly. No holding, no waiting for tones, just three quick, clean taps. The old triple tap behavior was bumped to a four-tap gesture, which almost no one was using anyway. It was a thoughtful, practical swap, and it is one that even experienced voiceover users have only discovered in recent years, sometimes long after it happened. If you've been on iOS for a decade or more and never knew about this, you're in very good company. We hear from voiceover users all the time who have just stumbled across this gesture and wondered where it had been all their lives. So what exactly does it do? In short, the one-finger triple tap opens the contextual menu, the same menu a sighted user would see by pressing and holding on an item. This is where all the good stuff lives, the options that aren't available from a single activation, the actions that apps reserve for press and hold. What appears in that menu depends entirely on where you are and what you're focused on. VoiceOver will announce the first available option, and you can then swipe right to move through the choices and double tap the one you want. Where it really shines, real world examples. This is where it gets practical. The triple tap isn't just an abstract gesture. It earns its keep in apps you're probably using right now. Apple Music. Apple Music is one of the best examples of why this gesture matters. Navigate to a song, album, or artist in your library or in a playlist and triple tap it. You'll get a rich action menu that gives you options like add to library, add to playlist, share, go to artist, go to album, and more. Without the triple tap, reaching these options would mean navigating into a separate detail screen or hunting for a dedicated button, if one even exists. With it, you get the full action sheet right where you are, immediately. This is a workflow that becomes dramatically more efficient once you know about it. Home screen app icons. Triple tapping any app icon on your home screen brings up that icon's long press menu, giving you options like remove app, edit home screen, and for apps that support them, quick actions. Quick actions are app-defined shortcuts that let you jump straight to a specific feature, compose a new message in Mail, scan a new document in Notes, start a new workout in Fitness, and so on. Previously, getting to those required either entering the edge. I'm going to start that sentence again, pardon me. Previously, getting to these required either entering the edit mode wiggle dance or relying on the double tap and hold. Now it's three taps. Messages and Mail. In Messages, triple tapping on an individual message bubble gives you access to reaction options, reply, copy, and more, the same menu sighted users get with a long press. In Mail, a triple tap on a message in your inbox brings up options like reply, flag, mark as unread, move, and trash, all without needing to open the message first. For anyone who processes a lot of email, that's a meaningful time saver. Safari links. When you're browsing in Safari and your voiceover focus lands on a link, a one-finger triple tap gives you the link's contextual menu. Open, open a new tab, add to reading list, copy link, and share. For users who routinely open links in new tabs or send links to others, this is far more efficient than opening the link first and then navigating back to share it. Photos. In the Photos app, triple tapping on a photo in your library opens options including share, add to album, copy, duplicate, and more. It's the quick action layer for your photo library, and it works on individual photos whether you're in the main grid view or inside an album. The App Store. Triple tapping an app in the App Store gives you quick access to options like opening its detail page or interacting with it directly. And in your app library or on your home screen, it's how you can get to the app updates or quick action shortcuts without going through additional navigation steps. How to do it? The gesture itself is straightforward. Navigate to the item you want. Make sure VoiceOver has announced its name, and tap three times in quick succession with one finger. Keep the taps brisk and even, the way you'd do a double tap, but with one extra. VoiceOver will announce the first option in the contextual menu, and from there you swipe right to browse and double tap to activate. If the gesture doesn't respond on the first try, experiment with the speed. Some users find a slightly slower rhythm works better for them. And you can also fine-tune the double tap timeout, which affects the timing of triple taps as well, by going to Settings, then Accessibility, then VoiceOver, and looking for the double tap timeout setting. A note on accessibility. What makes the one-finger triple tap especially valuable is that it asks nothing of the user beyond a quick repeating tap. There's no holding, no precise timing window, no risk of an accidental drag. For VoiceOver users who experience tremors, arthritis, reduced grip strength, fatigue, or any other condition that makes sustained screen contact difficult, this gesture removes a genuine barrier that the double tap and hold was putting in the way. Apple's decision to make this change in iOS 13.2 was a small but meaningful accessibility improvement, and it's one more reason why keeping iOS up to date is always worthwhile. Your turn. Open Apple Music right now. Navigate to any song in your library and give it three quick taps. See what comes up. Then try it on an app icon, a text message, or a Safari link. Once you start using the one-finger triple tap, you'll find yourself reaching for it constantly and wondering how you ever got along without it. As always, we'd love to hear from you. Was this gesture already in your repertoire, or is today the day it clicked? Let us know in the comments or find us on social media. And if there's a tip you'd like to see featured on a future Top Tip Thursday, we're always listening. Until next Thursday, three taps and you're there. And there is a link. I think I will read this one out. It is https://blindaccessjournal.com/2026/05/tip/Thursday-tap-tap-the-one-finger-triple-tap-you-should-be-using-every-day. I think I'm living to regret that. Tierra, a free navigation app for visually impaired people. Hey all, I'm part of a team working on a navigation app called Tierra, and that is spelled T-I-E-R-A, built specifically for blind and visually impaired people. Tierra is a free app designed to offer clear, real-time guidance that helps users understand where they are, where they're headed, and what's around them as they move. It provides spoken directions, optional audio or vibration cues, and quick answers to questions like, where am I, or what's around me, all aimed at helping people stay confidently in control while navigating. One of Tierra's key differentiators is the checkpoints feature. At any moment during a journey, users can activate their phone camera to confirm whether they're heading in the correct direction. This directly addresses the last 10 meters challenge that many of our users report when approaching their destination. One thing that's really important to us is that Tierra is being built with the blind and low vision community, not just for it, with it. Our Chief Growth Officer, Richard, is severely visually impaired and brings lived experience directly into how the app is shaped. That perspective is also informed by feedback from over 2,000 users worldwide, which continues to guide what we build and improve. We're currently working on implementing human assistance in the form of teleassistance to add that extra safety net so visually impaired people can navigate outdoors safely and confidently. If anyone is interested in trying what we're building and giving honest feedback, good or bad, we'd be very grateful. We're trying to design this with the community, not just for it. You can download Tierra on our website and give us your feedback in the app. So that website is www.touchpulse.nl/Tierra. I'm going to spell that out. www.touchpulse.nl/Tierra. Thank you for reading. And that is all from an AppleViz forum. Accessible cooking apps for blind and low vision. Cooking is one of the most sensory-rich activities in daily life. For people who are blind or low vision, it's also one of the most achievable. With the right technology, the kitchen doesn't have to feel like an obstacle course. Voice-based tools have made a big difference. They turn tasks that once needed sighted help into things people can do alone. People can do them independently and with confidence on their own terms. This is a look at the tools that are making the biggest difference for blind and low vision cooks today, from smart speakers to accessible apps to adaptive gadgets and how they work together in a real kitchen. The hardest thing about cooking as a blind mom is listening to your food. At the same time, you teach a 10-year-old long division, says Taryn. She is co-host of Babies Down, Bottles Up, a podcast by and for blind moms. It's a clear example of why cooking with vision loss is so hard. The kitchen needs your full attention. Life rarely cooperates. Smart speakers, the original. For many blind and low vision cooks, a smart speaker is the single most useful tool in the kitchen. Amazon Echo or Alexa and Google Home or Google Assistant can handle a wide range of cooking tasks entirely hands-free, like setting timers, converting measurements, like how many cups in a pint, or adding items to a shopping list as you realize you've run out of something. Google Assistant has a recipe feature. Ask for a recipe by name and it'll guide you through ingredients and steps. It can pause when you ask. For simple recipes that don't take long and don't have many steps, this works well. The limitation of smart speakers is that they work from the internet, not from your personal recipe collection, and they read recipes step by step, which can be frustrating. It is harder when you need to jump around, also harder when you need to ask a specific question mid-cook. Accessible apps. Several apps have been designed with accessibility in mind, such as Cookie Voice Recipes. This is in iOS. It's designed specifically for blind and low vision users. It imports recipes from websites and strips out all the clutter like ads and long introductory stories that make most recipe sites difficult to navigate with a screen reader. But its core feature is conversational. Rather than navigating through steps in sequence, users can ask the app anything about the recipe they're working on at any point during cooking and get a spoken answer, like, what is the next step? How much butter do I need? I just ran out of sour cream. What can I substitute? What temperature does the oven need to be? It also includes a photo import feature with autofocus for blind users. Point your camera at a printed recipe. The app captures it when it detects text. This removes the guesswork of framing. Be My Eyes is a free app that connects blind and low vision users with sighted volunteers via live video. In the kitchen, this can be useful for reading a label on an unfamiliar product, checking whether something is cooked through by color, confirming that settings on an appliance are correct, or identifying produce at the grocery store before you cook. Seeing AI can read text, identify products by barcode, describe images, and even recognize food. Pointing it at a can or package gives you the product name and often the full label. In the kitchen, it's particularly useful for distinguishing similar-looking containers or confirming what's in the pantry. Beyond apps, a growing range of kitchen tools include audible feedback, such as talking meat thermometers announce the internal temperature of food, removing one of the trickier guessing games in cooking. Talking kitchen scales read out measurements aloud, making precise baking much more manageable. Induction cooktops are often recommended by low-vision occupational therapists. The surface does not heat up, which reduces accidental burns. Many models also have tactile controls. Bump dots and tactile markers, small adhesive raised dots, can be added to any appliance to mark frequently used settings like medium heat or 350 degrees Fahrenheit on an oven dial. These are inexpensive, widely available, and make a significant difference for daily cooking. The Blind Kitchen is a great source for adapting cooking tools curated specifically for blind and low-vision cooks, founded by Chef Deborah Erickson, who lost her vision as an adult and has since dedicated her work to helping others cook independently. The one thing that changes everything for a blind cook is when they realize that they can still cook safely in spite of vision loss, says Erickson. For many newly blind cooks, cooking for family and friends was what defined them, is a return to that identity. Putting it together, the most effective kitchen setup for a blind or low vision cook usually combines several of these tools. An accessible recipe app manages the recipe itself. Talking tools handle measurement and temperature. And an identification app like Be My Eyes handles labels and unfamiliar products. None of these tools require significant technical expertise to use, and most are free or low cost. The biggest shift is knowing they exist. It also helps to try them in a low-stakes setting, and you can do that before using them during a full meal. Spread the word. Join GMSAA. Becoming a member of the Alumni Association is easy. Go to www.gmsaai.org and click on Join GMSAAI to fill out the registration form. Print out the form and mail it to us with your $20 annual dues. It's that simple. What is the purpose of GMSAA? To promote goodwill among the blind and deaf communities, to work with the Governor Moorhead School for the betterment of the student body, to provide merit and charitable awards and scholarships to blind and deaf students who are pursuing vocational training or post-secondary education, and to promote and encourage the education of blind and deaf children and adults throughout North Carolina. Who can join GMSAA? Any person who has attended the Governor Moorhead School, any campus of the North Carolina State School for the Blind and Deaf, any school that may be established by the state of North Carolina for the express purpose of educating blind or deaf children, or any person who is interested in helping the association. Coming soon to a new stand near you, the next issue of the Alumni Connection will be distributed at the end of September of 2026. The deadline for submissions of articles, committee reports, and announcements is August 22nd of 2026. Let your voice be heard. And who is on the board of directors? Your president is Ricky Scott, vice president Robert Parrish, treasurer Tim Snyder, secretary Thelma Crumpler, assistant secretary Ginger Rush, and then there's Lonnie Cunningham, Margaret Carter, Tamika O'Kelly, Janie Garland, Carla Smith, Donnie Best, and Susan Patterson. The Board of Directors meets quarterly. For updated information on meeting agenda items, meeting dates or times, or other information, please contact Dr. Ricky Scott, President, at 919-673-8300 or email rickyscott09@gmail.com. Contribute to the Alumni Connection. The Governor Moorhead School Alumni Association reserves the right to edit for grammar, content, and formatting any material submitted for publication in this newsletter. All submissions must include the name of the author. Submissions can be emailed to rickyscott09@gmail.com. And lo and behold, I do have time to go back and read the article that I skipped over. So here we go. Mastering the Art of Delegation in Leadership, Insights and Tips. The key is to delegate to those who are capable, coachable, and interested. We often hear leaders say, "I'm so busy and I just have so much to do." And our recommendation is always the same. Delegate. Now, we get it. Delegation isn't everyone's favorite word. The mere thought of passing the baton to someone can stir up a bit of resistance. However, delegating tasks effectively can ease your workload and help you better achieve your organizational goals. It's an essential leadership skill alongside time management. Unfortunately, delegation skills aren't something we're born with. We need to learn them. Being able to delegate effectively requires breaking down mental barriers and creating the right environment for your task passing to succeed. Being busy versus being productive. As a leader, do you sometimes find you're doing too much of the day-to-day or transactional stuff? Does it feel like you're constantly busy but still behind on accomplishing your goals? There's a huge difference between being busy and being productive. Being productive is about moving the ball a few inches closer to the goal every single day. Being busy, on the other hand, tend to be overthinkers and have an incredible ability to expand their tasks to the amount of time they have available. Simply put, busy people tend to be great at looking busy, whereas productive people are just getting it done. But how do you get it done? Yes, you've guessed it. You need to delegate. Why don't leaders delegate? According to a commonly shared statistic, only 30% of managers believe they are good delegators, and only a third of them are considered one by their team. Why do leaders struggle? Here are five common reasons you or your leaders may hesitate to delegate. Fear of losing control. If you do it yourself, you do it right, right? Whereas if you give the task to someone else, they may not perform it to the same standard or make decisions you don't agree with. Lack of trust. Trust is a crucial part of delegation. If you don't trust your team members' abilities or commitment to the task, passing it over to them can seem impossible. Desire to be the expert. Being an expert in your field can give you a strong sense of identity and satisfaction. If you give tasks away, you might feel like you lose that role as the go-to person. Time to train. You may see the time and effort needed to train someone else as more of a hassle and commitment than just doing it yourself. Concerns about performance. If the person you delegate to doesn't do the job at the expected level, you may be worried this will lead to mistakes and a drop in overall team performance. Do any of these sound familiar? Which ones concern you the most? Short-term pain for long-term gain. All of us perceived barriers are understandable. However, the benefits of delegation are huge. Yes, there may be teething problems in the short term as you relinquish your responsibilities to others and may not get it right straight away. But when you commit to delegation, it brings long-term benefits, including better time management. By delegating effectively, you can focus on strategic planning activities that demand your expertise. You can also allocate your time more efficiently. Team development. Delegation is about empowering team members. It enables them to grow and develop new skills. It can also increase their confidence. Improved team morale and motivation. When you delegate and empower team members, you demonstrate trust in their abilities, boosting engagement. More creativity and innovation. Delegating tasks encourages diverse perspectives and ideas. It also promotes a culture of collaboration. Greater flexibility and agility. When tasks and knowledge are shared, you can respond more effectively to changing circumstances and unexpected challenges. Specialization equals efficiency. Delegating tasks to individuals with specific skills and expertise ensures that each task is performed by the most qualified person. Less leader burnout. If you try to do everything yourself, you can burn yourself out. Assigning tasks alleviates the burden and enables a better work-life balance. Better succession planning. Delegation is crucial to leadership development and succession planning. It allows potential future leaders to gain experience and the skills needed for higher-level responsibilities. These benefits of effective delegation can improve rather than hinder your organization's performance and future growth. So, developing a delegation strategy. Now you know why you should delegate. The big question is, how do you overcome the perceived barriers so you can start dishing out those day-to-day tasks? Before we answer this, it's important to highlight the difference between allocation and delegation, as which you do matters. Allocation is more directive. It's about getting people to complete tasks. Delegation, on the other hand, is empowering. It's entrusting a person to a task. Teams can feel empowered as delegation involves someone else making decisions and being held accountable, not just doing things. Now, back to the how. The first step is identifying tasks and deciding what you should delegate. For this, ask yourself the following questions. Are you the only person who could do this task, or could someone else do it? Does it require your specific attention for it to be successful? Will delegating this work help someone learn a new skill? Do you expect tasks like this to recur in the future? Answering these questions will help you determine whether a task is delegable and whether delegating it will be beneficial. Next, consider and map out your team members' skills, strengths, weaknesses, and interests. Then match the tasks you have allocated as delegable and beneficial to individuals based on their capabilities and development goals. Importantly, there are three success factors when deciding who to delegate a task to. They must be capable, coachable, and interested. So make sure they fit the bill. Tips and strategies for success. Once you've successfully assigned tasks with people, you need to set up the right environment for success. Here are some musts for making it work. Set clear expectations. Clearly communicate the objectives, expected outcomes, and any specific guidelines for the task. Plus, set a time frame and deadline to create a sense of urgency and priority. Provide adequate training. Make sure your team members have the necessary skills and knowledge to perform the delegated task. Offer training and resources and be available for questions. Balance workloads. Avoid overloading individuals while leaving others with little to do. Make sure you distribute tasks fairly. Encourage feedback. Create an open, two-way communication channel and welcome feedback on the delegation process so you can make continuous improvements. Foster cultural accountability. Hold each team member accountable for their responsibilities. Encourage a sense of ownership for delegated tasks. Promote collaboration. Urge your team to support each other. Emphasize your shared team goals and how each person's contribution is vital. Monitor progress. When monitoring progress, establish check-in points and address any issues. Only intervene when necessary. Avoid micromanaging. Recognize and reward success. Last but not least, acknowledge and celebrate the achievements of individuals who successfully complete delegated tasks. All the best, Kenneth Seaman, Sr. His desk phone is 409-866-5838. His mobile is 409-201-3040. So, we have come to the end of this month's Governor Moorhead School Alumni Association newsletter. We hope you've enjoyed listening. Please join us again. I'm Julie Eldridge, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. This newsletter is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any questions or comments, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. And we thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.